just beyond words. Okay, Dan, you there? Okay, let's try one more time. Okay, Dan, are you there?
I am.
He is. By golly, we got it. We put the two strings together and the tin cans are working. My, my. You know, Dan, it's been one of those days. I, as you know, the situation I've been in for the past month, I guess. And I came in this morning early, and I got some stuff done, and then I got wrapped up in trying to get other stuff done. And I'd come in, and I'd check the studio and had everything running and going, and I just flat dab let time get away from me, and we're going to have to play taps, I think. What's the old saying?
That's when you have the best show, is when you're under stress.
Well, I'm under it, and I think it's a cement truck that's rolling over me right at the moment.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of that, the Northeast, and in fact, the Southeast, we woke up this morning to very low temperatures. It was in the 20s, which and it's supposed to get even lower today. It's cold, jiminy Christmas, and here it is, March the 13th, and you'd think it was January the 13th. We didn't have much of a winter, so I guess we're going to have it in the last month of the spring or something. I don't know.
Do you have any snow in the forecast?
Not for Atlanta, but North Georgia has just a little bit, I think. They up in the mountains, they might get a dusting or something like that. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot. But boy, New York and the Northeast, they're predicting up to 2 feet of snow. I can't even imagine 2 feet of snow. That just, at one time, you know, they were saying it could conceivably snow like 3 to 4 inches an hour. That just boggles my poor little head, you know.
We've had strange weather, too. One day it'll rain like a son of a gun. And the next day, the sun will come out and just feel great. We had a sunny day yesterday. It was up to about 64, 65. Beautiful, beautiful day. And, of course, I was inside all day, so I didn't know if it was day or night. But
that's right. You were RVing it.
Yeah. Well, I was surrounded by beautiful RVs.
How many did you buy?
Well, just that one that I put on the radio credit card.
Ah.
So, America's Web Radio.
Are you working somewhere else?
I told you not to give me the your credit card number, but you insisted, so I thought, well, that must be a buy signal.
Well,
$164,000.
See, I know that you're not telling the truth, because $64 would be a stretch on that credit card. Much less $164.
Let me repeat your credit card number and see if I got it right.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell the world. What the heck? But the RVs, RVs have got to be like boats, you know? I've seen some beautiful RVs, and wouldn't that be fun? No, I think that would suck. I don't want to be on the highway. What do they get, about 10 miles to a gallon of diesel or something like that?
I was talking to one guy. Of course, it depends on which one, what size, et cetera, et cetera. But they were talking, 15, 16 miles to the gallon.
That's not even to from the studio to the house. Wow. Not only do you have to be rich to afford one, then you have to be rich to be able to make it go anyplace, because you got to buy gas or diesel. And then when you get there, you got to find a parking place. And then you got to have another car attached to it so you can run around. I'm not sure anybody can point out you know, I'd rather go someplace, park my car or park my rental car, and then when I want to go someplace, get in my car or my rental car and go and come. And big, nice, hot showers. You don't have to stand in one position taking a shower. You can't turn around in the shower. You know, I'm sorry, I'm just not an RV person.
That doesn't sound much like it. I've talked to more than one family, though, who sold their house, and they're living in their fifth-wheel trailer. And wow. I'm thinking, oh, brother.
That would be awfully close.
Oh, brother. Oh, boy.
Not to mention...
Doesn't sound like fun to me either. They parked right in front of us was a 39-foot fifth-wheeler. And beautiful, high ceiling. It had a guest room. it was pretty elaborate. And only 65,000 shows special.
Only? Ah, well... They can keep it
two of those.
Oh, yeah, well, they can keep them for... there's some folks I can't get along with in a 5,000-square-foot house. And if I was in a RV in that close a company, I don't, somebody might die. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be awfully close quarters.
Yeah, I know. She's coming this way, and you're going that way, and, you know, is she going to squeeze to the right or to the left? And,
yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Yeah.
I'm going to find that Motel 6 and get out. You know, I don't mean to put down that show or anything like that, and we have RV shows over here all the time and stuff, and I'm sure... They are perfect for some astonishingly patient person that can drive 60 miles an hour or 50 miles an hour and be happy as a pig in new mud, but that ain't me. So I'll leave the RVs to somebody else, I guess.
I saw a lot of smiles, and I saw a lot of excited people. So there are a bunch of folks out there that, you know, love their RVs.
Think that's the cat's meow, huh?
It is the cat's meow. My cat is sitting right here. She's eyeing my coffee.
I hope she puts it in your lap. I hope she puts it in your lap.
Well, you're a friendly fellow this morning.
Well, it's Monday. I hate Mondays and Tuesdays. I love Fridays. About noon on Friday, I really love Fridays.
Well, are you sure we're on the air this morning?
Well, no, I'm not sure, but we could be.
I didn't hear any applause in the background.
Is that like clapping?
Yeah, like clapping.
You know, let me ask, Dan, we talked about this over the weekend a little bit, and I guess I'll pursue it.
No.
You know, I'm a news junkie, I guess, so I always have been, even when I started out in this business, but I guess I'm really getting tired of, and it's not even news, it's opinions, because there is, in some ways, there is no news. It's so they put these jerks on and they give their opinions of what's happening with the president and what's not happening and Obamacare and Obamacare light and this and that, and they've got all these different names for it and all this stuff, and I'm just getting real tired of them arguing. I'm tired of listening to who pointed what finger at which person and what they're doing and what they're not going to do. I just want Congress to do something. Do anything.
Have you ever gone to a movie and the movie seems to just drag on and on and on and on and you can't wait for it to be over?
Yep. Well, generally in those kind of movies, there'll be some snoring going on coming from my seat.
Well, that's exactly how I feel about what you're talking about, this this cycle of politics that we've been mired in for years and years.
It's all
fiction, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, the acting is pretty poor. there's no plot, and the seats aren't even that comfortable. So I think we ought to move on to what's next.
Yeah, and in your opinion, what is next?
Boy, I don't know.
Well, you know, I get concerned. We're worried about wiretapping. We're worried about the Ruskies electing our president. We're worried about a bunch of things that I must say I'm not that worried about them. But I am worried about the fact that both Iran and North Korea both have ballistic missiles now, capable of delivering a nuclear weapon. I'm worried about the fact that militarily, I'm not sure America, because of the last administration, could fight their way out of a wet paper bag. Only 75%, this is what I heard on quote-unquote the news, or from one of the general contributors, only 75% of our Air Force is capable of flying. and it goes on and on. We don't have the military boots to put on the ground. We don't have to worry about putting them on the ground because we ain't got them there to put. I mean, it's deplorable. I think I heard we are something like 10 to 15 years behind in research and development for the military. That's scary to me.
That's frightening.
You know.
Yeah. You can't make that up real quick.
No. No.
No.
So, I guess that's my frustration of worrying about who said what and when and oh my goodness, clapping our hands together and, well, let's go argue about Obamacare another, 2 weeks and get nowhere. I'm very concerned about our country and getting something done. Quit messing around. With that being said, we got to take our first break, Dan. So hang in there, brother. We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear?
On America's Web
Radio. All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show. Welcome to America's Web Radio. Welcome to Monday. It is Monday.
Yeah. Hey, I found out something about myself last night. Let's see, how do I say it? I guess I'm naive. I like to watch 60 Minutes, CBS presentation, 60 Minutes, and I always find at least one or two of the segments to be pretty interesting. Well, last night, the first segment was on this Russian fellow who Vladimir had tried to poison two or three times, and basically the segment was on, you know, how bad Russia is and how bad Vladimir Putin is and how many people he's killed and the repression of freedom and no freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. And then the second segment was on Guantanamo, how they've used... I've got my cat fighting her tail in the background. How they've used torture on prisoners. And I thought, wow, you know, and this is where my naivete came crashing into reality. 60 Minutes is a political organization. Obviously, Trump has been in the news because of Russia and his his favorable relationships with Russia. And then Guantanamo keeps popping up, and, you know, Mr. Obama wanted to close Guantanamo, and all of a sudden here we have a news article, and I'm sure it's not a fresh news article. It's probably one that they had been waiting for just the right time to put it on air, but the timing was very suspicious.
Huh.
I think our media controls us in subtle ways and not so subtle ways. But this prisoner from Guantanamo was a very likable guy, you know, a great smile, and oh, the things that they did to him would make your hair curl. Or they allegedly had done to him. And I believe the guy. I think he probably, you know, was telling the truth. I don't see that he had any reason to lie. He had been released. He was back in his home country. He could say anything he wanted to. I suspect it was the truth.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was just curious that CBS released those two big stories when they did. Trump has got a real uphill battle with the media, obviously. It's going to be a tough four-year fight for him, and I don't think it's going to let up. And he probably likes the pressure. He probably says, bring it on, boys.
I guess. I can't imagine anybody enjoying that kind of pressure. Or, you know, there's two ways to look at it. One is, I can't imagine anybody enjoying that kind of pressure. The other way to look at it is, if he fluffs it off, where are we? I.e., oh, that pressure doesn't bother me, I just go ahead and play my golf game, you know, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a scary thought too, huh?
Well, increasingly, everything looks kind of scary. But, you know, we'll see. He's only been in office, what, 60 days or less than 60 days? So, you know, let's give him a little time, see what he does.
Oh, yeah. You know, as nothing voters, we have nothing but time to give him.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen again for four more years, so... There you have what we can do in that period of time.
Yeah, and in the meantime, the Democrats need to find a candidate. So, you know, they'll spend the next year grooming somebody, or the next 2 years grooming somebody, and then whoever they, you know, is their darling will be promoted for the remaining 2 years of the Trump term.
Okay, let me ask you a provocative question. I think you're probably right. I think they're probably doing it right now, looking at every possible, potential, whatever. Can another black candidate win?
Oh, boy. Sure. maybe even a black female.
Michelle!
The wife of a former president.
Michelle! I don't think she could win. But that's not to say a black woman couldn't win. I just don't think it could be Michelle. And I'm not sure. I'm not even sure another black candidate can win for a while. I don't know. That's why I ask.
You think the blacks have been damaged by the prior president, huh? I don't think so. I think a black male or female could win. And, if they were a good candidate, I'd vote for them.
I think that you hit it on the spot. If they were not only a good candidate, they would have to obviously present themselves well, but they'd also have to have some substance. And I think substance is exactly the reason that Hillary did nothing. She wasn't anything as a candidate. Nothing.
Yeah, she could never really nail it down to anything.
No. And I don't know. I could be entirely wrong. I hate to even be thinking about 4 years down the road already, but
I was just going to point that out to you. Let's talk about that.
I just do hope that in a very short period of time, something turns around, and we live in, I know you know, but we live in the 6th District, and that is where the new HHS, Dr. Tom Price, came from. So we're in the election mode one more time, and I had 5 different surveys called this weekend. The poor lady that was number 5, she won the award that I presented her over the telephone about being interrupted on a Sunday afternoon by some idiot doing a survey that I could care less about on politicians running in my district. She got the complete...
She ran into the buzzsaw. Huh?
She got the complete trophy, yeah, on her head.
She was defeathered.
You know, and I hated to be rude, but I was sick of getting up and answering the phone and it being a survey. Plus the fact that, again, you know, in the circumstances at our house at the moment, I know they have to do it. I know that supposedly they are doing a job and getting the answers for their candidates and all this kind of stuff and what do we need to do next. But what a pain in the wazoo to have to answer. And one, I won't take the survey anyway, so they're sort of blowing in the wind. But it's just a pain, just absolutely a pain. I'd much rather have been at Amelia Island, where they had the Amelia Island Concours d'Elegance with the multi-million dollar cars on display. And a good time was had by all. We figured up that there was probably well over $100 million worth of cars there. And I'm sure the auctions went over big time. Their little airport was overwhelmed by, and I just, mine was in for its physical, so I couldn't fly my Lear down to Amelia Island, or my pilot couldn't, so we were having its annual done, so, you know, I had an excuse for not flying down. But, I mean... That's the rich of the rich. The stars of the stars were there. showing off how much money.
I looked around for you, and I didn't see you. I was a little bit surprised that.
Are you going to make this a short joke?
Well, it sounds like a great show, but I thought they were expecting some kind of tropical storm.
Well, they did. They were expecting a storm. I think they got a lot of rain, but they had. Bill Warner is a gentleman that I think it's 26 years, and he has won so many awards for putting on the best car show in the world. One of the judges of the great car shows is, I believe it's out of England, and he has won that award a number of times. And poor Bill was pulling his hair out in that he had to move everything up a day, and notifying all the people that were coming to the concourse was, you know, to tell them that, hey, we're having to move it up a day because of the weather that's coming in, and we don't want a $5 million car to be hailed on particularly. And, I mean, yeah, poor guy. And one of our sponsors, Passport Transport, was down there. They were pulling their hair out because they were having to reschedule and get cars in, get cars out, get cars moved around. And it's a very big, big show. I think 300 cars or something like that. And it just, you know, that's just big time. And you make a small hourly change, much less a full day change, and that affects a lot of folks. But anyway, I'm sure Bill pulled it off.
These were old cars, exotic cars, and rare cars.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, and yeah.
Wouldn't you like to know the buyers who were there?
Well, Leno's always there. Jay Leno's always there. I can't say he was there this time, but most times he's there. And it's people like him that can afford to, you know, when they say $10 million, he raises his hand, you know, if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the kind of folks that we had. Our host, Steve Rinaldo, was down there, not bidding on cars. In fact, he was putting a straitjacket by his wife. You don't want to itch your nose. You don't want to foam at the mouth. You don't want to scratch anything for fear of you just bought a $5 million car. So you have to be very careful about what you do with your hands and your arms and so forth.
But, do you know who won Best of Show or what car won Best of Show?
A friend of mine sent me that information, and but I don't have it in front of me. But
yeah, I wonder if my 1998 Mercedes would have stood a chance. Maybe.
Chance of what? Getting there?
Yeah, right.
I don't.
Well, at the RV show, the most expensive RV was around $400,000. And these salesmen said, but you ought to go to Florida. They have $2 million motorhomes in Florida. So I don't know why I'd want to go to Florida to see that. But I guess it's all relative. You can always find a more expensive item.
Yeah, let me ask. On the RVs, do they drive them in, or do they have them brought in by truck and unloaded and so forth?
Oh, I'd love to know. I don't know how many RVs were there, maybe 1,000. And they only had a day and a half to get them set up. So it must have been an army of men and a well-organized precision drill to get all those RVs in and shined up, because, you know, there was not a speck of dirt inside that building. It was pristine. Beautiful. Every one of them was shined up.
You know what? It's time to do our second break. I let time get away from us. We'll be back right after
Let's
this.
Do it.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And you're listening to the Dan and Dan Show today. I don't want any part of it, so I'll just give it all to you, Dan.
Well, we had a time event, Saturday night, Sunday morning. We had to do something with our time. And I can't figure out why we still have daylight savings time, but I'm sure there's a good reason somewhere.
You know,
do you know of any good reason?
No, absolutely not. I was impressed. This is the first time I've heard any major network people start griping about it. I think it's the silliest thing going. I don't care what they do. They can split it in half. They can leave it one way or the other. And you know, the most frustrating thing to me is I have no more analog watches. I have all digital watches. And I have to find the little instruction book on each one of the stupid things to remember how to reset it. And I hate it, you know. Because I'm stupid. I'll be the first to admit that. I'm not, you know, whatever. But I wasted 2 hours resetting my wristwatches yesterday because of the stupid change in time.
How many wristwatches do you own?
I think I have about 7.
Holy mackerel. Do you wear one?
Well, that's the one I wear through my nose. Yeah. I have to have it close to my eyes so I can read it.
You got a nose watch.
I got a nose watch, yes.
Oh. You know, there might be a market for that. we should talk about that off air. We don't want everybody to get our idea.
Get into the nose watch business behind our back?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I don't see any advantage to daylight saving. Didn't they do it back when the gas thing was supposedly, and it was going to help with the gasoline issue of some way or
other? I thought it was the school kids standing out waiting for the bus, but I don't know.
Whatever it was, it was a long time ago, and it's stupid, and I'm sick of it.
Yes, it's time to get past that, and, you know. But anyway, that happened this weekend, and I'm still trying to recover. Although I saw a funny Facebook post, it said 1 hour less of time is a good thing because it's 1 hour less of the Trump presidency.
Well, they're going to get it back in the fall.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to tell them that.
That's sort of rude, wasn't it?
Well, it's funny. I thought it was funny. You know, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. I'm tough. I'm not a snowflake.
Oh, is that snowflakes what they are, the women that wear white? Isn't that what they're calling them?
Yeah.
Or something?
Okay, so the main purpose of daylight savings time, what do you think? It, according to this article, is to make better use of daylight. Now, that's not the reason I was looking for, I'm sure. Gosh.
That's sort of an ambiguous answer, isn't it? Come on, that must be a PC answer.
I think we're struggling to come up with something to talk about.
You think?
Yeah.
Never.
Maybe we ought to have a listener call in with something. You want to just turn your phone on and we'll take calls?
No.
No.
That would mean that one would have to work, and one doesn't want to work. One is tired. One didn't have a super restful weekend, and so one doesn't want to have to work and answer a bunch of yo-yos calling in. So don't call in. Nor are we going to give you the number. The number is going to be...
Well, after in-depth research here, I have no idea why we did daylight savings time. I give up.
Just to harass, you know? That's all it could be. Harass me, make me change my watches, and, you know, do all the bad stuff that I really didn't want to do to begin with. And that's it.
Okay, now here's something. In 1973, shortly after the oil embargo went into effect, President Richard Nixon called for a year-round daylight savings time. A brief trial ended, partly because of fears that children would get hit by cars in the dark, but daylight savings time has nevertheless grown. Now, what does that mean? And then we tried it again in 1986. And since 2005, the U.S. has been observing 8 months of daylight savings time. Now, it's been much longer than 2005.
How many hours?
Eight.
Or how many months? I'm sorry. Eight months
of daylight savings. Yeah.
Well, that's screwy, isn't it?
That doesn't sound right. So I don't know. This article must have been written by the Russian mafia. It's obviously disinformation, you know, aimed at...
fake news.
Fake news. Oh, boy, today is going to be a tough day, I think.
Well, what are you going to do since you have no RV show to go to and stand around looking?
I had fun with some of the people. It was getting pretty boring, so I took my clipboard, and people would come by, and I'd look at them real intensely and act like I was drawing, and I would say, you know, you're qualified for the show complimentary caricature drawing. And one guy said, oh, is it free? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, what's a caricature? I said, oh, forget it.
I like those people that say, is it free? And you say, yeah, and then they turn around, well, how much does it cost?
Yeah, how much does it cost?
Oh, yeah, you know.
I ran into some real interesting people.
I salute you for putting up with 5 days of that. I couldn't... you know, the other thing that I hate about that is my feet always swell. You know, you're standing so much that it's hard to get your boots off.
Mm-hmm.
Or your loafers, or your shoes, period. And there's nothing better than the cold room in the hotel where you're staying. You're done with it, and you can go up and flop on the bed. In your case, you went home and flopped on the bed, but...
Yeah, well, I came home and watched 60 Minutes.
Oh. I wonder if... I got to tell you a convention story. So one of my clients many years ago, they sold their products primarily to dermatologists. And the convention was always in New Orleans, on the 3rd, or as close to the 3rd of December as possible. And I would truck down there. I went to, I don't know how many conventions, many. So you know, I go down there, and at these conventions, you'd have every cosmetic company in the world trying to sell their cover-up product, or they're this product, or they're that product to a dermatologist. And the last 2 days of the convention, and it happened every time I was, every year, you'd see the doctor's wives out on the floor, and they would have their tote bags filled. I mean, absolutely to the brim of samples. And I finally said, what the hell are these women doing? Why would they? They're not going to use all. They were Christmas shopping. Now, a good derm back even then was in the $150,000 to $250,000 range, okay, of annual income. These ladies could go to any store and buy anything they wanted to for their friends and relatives. But no, they were getting samples from the dermatology convention. I just would stand there and look at them like, you gotta be kidding me. You have the audacity to wrap that up and give it to somebody? Hey, this came from New Orleans. I got it specially for you.
Yeah, show special, free.
Yeah. So, did you have many people wrapping up RVs and going to hold them for Christmas?
Well, yeah, there were other exhibitors, so I go around and meet all the other exhibitors and see what they're giving away. And Humana was there. Humana is a big healthcare group, and so they had these balls, squeeze balls. So I got a couple of those, and you know, trying to work on my forearm and my grip, and it kind of flared up my arthritis in my fingers. So I had to stop doing that.
Yeah, another. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, so we played baseball with these balls. When things got slammed, there'd be a ball flying through the air. It's amazing the games that kind of pop up impromptu.
Oh, I've got one for you. I thought about this the other day when we were talking, and I don't know of any convention, or I've never been to one, that they're not some dead times. If nothing else, if they're doing classes, there'll be dead times. But every convention has a dead time when you stand there and look at your manicure to make sure it's still perfect, you know. So one of my clients, again, many years ago, for a giveaway, we gave away, I'll think of it. I've lost my train of thought.
You gave away something.
We gave away something, yes. No, we gave yo-yos. We gave away yo-yos, okay? So during the dead time, all of these supposedly adults were in the middle of the aisles with their yo-yos showing off what they could do when they were 10 years old. Swing the baby, you know. Around the world,
yeah.
You know, and I kept waiting for somebody to get clobbered by one and my client and get sued or something. But it was great. People loved them, and they were, and I don't know how many. In fact, we gave away so many yo-yos that 2 days into the convention, my client called and said, I've got to have another 1,000 of these. And we turned the world upside down and got him. The next day, he had another 1,000 of them. But it was... you know, their name was everywhere on the yo-yos. It was great. But
what was your client's product? And how did yo-yos relate to the product?
It didn't. The yo-yos had nothing to do with the product whatsoever. The only thing was that I had used them for another client in another situation, and they had gone over so well. You know, it was nostalgia, I guess, of a sort, and people loved them. And, well, I haven't had a yo-yo in 25 years, you know. And they would, and obviously the client's name was well represented on the yo-yo. And, you know, I figured, well, they'll take it home. They'll take it home to their office. Who knows where or when they'll use it, but it will represent my client. And it did. And it did very well.
One year I brought a, I don't know if it was a competition model or a pro model, but it was a very nice yo-yo. And I was so pleased. It was so smooth. My goodness, there was a big difference between that yo-yo and anything else I had yo-yoed previous to that.
Well, yo-yo, I hate to tell you, but it's time to have another break. We're going it's through this. It's so much fun that these breaks just sneak up on me. We'll be back right after this.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy, no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show, exclusively on America's Web Radio, because no one else would put up with Dan.
So we were talking about yo-yos. How many yo-yos, how many kids have you seen with a yo-yo in the last 2-3 years?
Probably a minus zero.
Yeah.
They're not entertaining. Or the, or how many have you seen with the paddle ball thing, you know?
Yeah, or a top.
Or a top. Well, people don't even know what a top is anymore.
Or sitting down playing marbles.
Yeah, yeah. Or pick up sticks.
You know, all the good games are, you know, nobody plays them anymore.
There was
I think when I get a little bit older, I'll probably be a yo-yo.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Yeah.
See how nice I am? I can really, there is a nice side of me that won't comment on a door opening like that.
I remember with tops, we used to file down the metal tip, make them really sharp, and you'd want to break the other guy's top, so he would throw it into the circle, and then you would try to hit his top and maybe stick him or break him open.
Well, that wasn't so nice.
I know, we played pretty aggressive.
You know, I must say, tops I was never into. For some reason, Lubbock didn't have tops, I guess. I don't know. That was never, we would sort of do that with see if you could bust somebody in the mouth with a yo-yo.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Let's see if we can
knock a few teeth loose.
Yeah, yeah. Cut his lip or something like that. We'd also see if we could lift skirts a little bit with a yo-yo. But we won't go into that detail either. Anyway, it was toys have changed. I saw an ad for a game, a video game, computer game the other day, and I just sat there looking at it, thinking, what sick person would enjoy doing that game? You'd have to be, they should only be selling that to asylums, you know? It was so bad, and so, I don't even know how to describe it. I was almost appalled that it was even being advertised on television where kids could see it. Anybody could see it, obviously. And
was it violent? Was that the reason?
Yeah, it was violent and just pretty crude is the probably the best way I could describe it. And I just sat there and sort of had my mouth hanging open that. And I wonder the sick person that came up with this game. I can't tell you the name of it. I have no idea. I just, you know, was watching the thing and thought. And I thought, too, how blessed I was that my sons never got into that garbage, you know. They had some video games. We bought some video games. We had different things, but they never got into the real Killer Crew type stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is good. I don't think that stuff is, I don't think some of those games are healthy in any shape, form, or fashion. And it's a shame because kids are playing that instead of finding out what real life is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could be playing a nasty game of Jacks.
Yeah. Yeah,
I was good at Jacks. Now, that's something that I could do probably better than most.
I don't even want to go there. Did you roll up your bobby socks to play?
I did. I played with all the other little girls.
Now, that's before you had your change, huh?
No, there was method in my madness.
Ah.
Some of these little freckled girls with red hair were darn cute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but anyway, that was a long, long, long time ago. The current games, when my grandsons come over, they grab my iPad, and that's the last I see of them.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about losing my iPad just because it's so hard to get them away from it. It's so addictive. You know, whatever these games are, and we watch what they play, and it's parental control. But
who are the parents?
Well, grandparent control. Not grandpapa, but grandmama.
I started to say grandpapa. That would be a joke.
Yeah, that'd be a joke. He hadn't controlled anything. But, when they leave, then I get on and play. No.
Yeah, some people would think you're kidding about that, but I know you're serious.
Oh, they're darn fun games.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You were talking about knocking some guy in the mouth or kid in the mouth with your yo-yo. When I was a kid, I would go over to the neighbor's house, and the neighbors were, the boys and kids were a little bit younger than me, so I tended to be the biggest one. And invariably, I would do some stupid thing and make one of them cry. And they would run into the house, "I'm going to tell Mommy on you." So my dad said, "Okay, you can go play, but don't make anybody cry." So I'd go over, and invariably, I couldn't help it. It just happened.
You were just mean.
I was just mean, I guess. Yeah.
Always had that mean streak.
Yeah, and then I met you and made you cry.
Yeah, because you kept taking my Benson and Hedges.
Yeah, those were crocodile tears.
Some kind of tears, anyway. So you got your cat there with you, making a lot of noise.
Oh, she's wired up. Her eyes are like saucers, and her ears are flat to her head. Thank you. She just went outside. I didn't want her tearing up the America Web Radio recording studio here. I've got so much money invested.
Yeah, that $1.50 goes a long way.
Your money invested.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Such is life in a while.
Money, right?
Yep. And after this show, we've got the NSPS Hour coming on the air. And always a good show. Kurt Sumner does a great job on getting good guests and talking land surveying or surveying in general. He said over the years, Kurt has done a marvelous job of getting some very interesting guests on. He had some folks on from the Netherlands the other day, and show does very well, and we're glad that we have Parker Davis Quick Stakes as a sponsor and Schoenstead Locators as a sponsor, and we appreciate them being a part of it. So,
well, I don't mean to disrespect Kurt, and I certainly don't disrespect land surveyors, but what the heck do you talk about? I mean, I would think 1 hour, and you'd kind of come to the end of your dialogue.
End of your tape?
End of your tape, yeah. Yeah, so to speak.
So to speak, yeah. No, they always, yeah. You know, I've never seen a land surveyor that, you know, they're generally out there sort of by themselves in many cases, and I've mm-hmm. never seen one that, maybe they just think they're talking to themselves and they don't know they're on radio. I don't know. But they can pretty well carry on a conversation under any circumstance, and they do a good job of it. So, well, I think that, you know, there's actually, to answer your question, land surveying has become a very technology-oriented business, and you can't be your Texas Tech dummy and be a land surveyor. That's for sure.
Well, I'm sure they're very bright, very smart, very well educated, but I can just hear them out in the field. They're talking. Well, looks pretty flat to me.
No, let's don't go there. I might lose them. Anyway, it's time to put the plug in the jug, Dan. We got to move out of here, get ready for the land surveyors and Kurt Sumner and his special guest, who I don't know who it is yet, but I'll learn shortly. So thanks for another Dan and Dave.
Kurt, I'm sorry. I feel guilty for saying that.
So I'm just giving him your phone number. I'm giving him your phone number and home address, and he can do with it as he wants.
Yeah.
So there.
Keep it flat, Kurt.
Take care, Dan. Talk to you next week, if not before.
All right, my friend. Thanks much.
Cook Immigration Partners.